the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. Recently I've been doing some talks on the spirit of the precepts, and during our monastic retreat this week, I did talks for the monks on the spirit of monastic discipline. One of the interesting things about precepts and the derivatives from the precepts that apply to more specific situations that we call rules. Good rules need to be derivatives from the precepts. But one of the interesting things about them is that when they're not needed, they disappear. Most of us don't go through the day thinking about rules and precepts. I would say that generally speaking, it's not a spiritually healthy condition to be in, to be trying to navigate through life by kind of keeping a mental tab of how one's doing on the rules and precepts. If one has truly taken the precepts to heart, once one has truly taken the precepts to heart, once one has committed oneself truly to training in the precepts, then the precepts are in there, and the Eternal will make use of them to help us. Often it will be as a kind of a, figuratively speaking, a flashing red light when we're crossing a line that is not spiritually good to cross, or when we're contemplating doing so. For example, you get angry, the precept, you know, do not get angry, do not be angry, comes up. If we're starting to spread, to dwell in doubt and delusion, or spread doubt and delusion, do not drink the wine of delusion, do not sell the wine of delusion. If we're contemplating or starting to do or say something that's not true, you know, do not say that which is not true. Do not lie. And so on. And of course, even without formal precepts, that a red light would be going, because that's coming right from your Buddha nature. The Buddha nature is never confused about the nature of what is good to do and what is not good to do. We get confused in our head. The Buddha nature itself is never confused, and we all have the Buddha nature. So the formal precepts just really are outgrowths of man's capacity to be in touch with the Buddha nature and to learn from it. Good rules work similarly, the same basic principle. And yet, of course, if one is not contemplating treading over a line, or actually treading over a line that is not good to tread over, where are they to be found, precepts and rules? if we were to try to hold on to them and to use them or apply them in a driver seat-y kind of way, what we are trying to do with rules and precepts becomes a kind of spiritual pollution, actually. Clouds in a clear sky. Similarly, if we willfully disregard that flashing red light, if we willfully go against the precepts, then we're also creating clouds in a clear sky. How do we characterize that clear sky? In fact, it can be characterized in many ways. It is characterized by people in many ways. And if we cling to any particular characterization of it, we again create clouds in a clear sky. This has its humorous aspect. I realize I'm not telling a wild joke here, but this has its humorous aspect. Every time we try to take any aspect of the truth and hold on to it, whatever it is, as a form of security for self, we create clouds in a clear sky. Here born, we clutch at things and then compound delusion later on by following ideals, says the scripture. In this way, some of the most wonderful revelations, some of the most illuminating and helpful aha moments, so to speak, some of the most helpful and exquisite experiences, if we try to cling to them, we turn into clouds in a clear sky. River Master used to talk a lot about the kaleidoscopic mind. Well, think for a moment about what a kaleidoscope is. I think we all know what a kaleidoscope is. I think if someone didn't know, it might not be the easiest thing in the world to describe, actually. But you know, as you turn that little sleeve on the kaleidoscope that keeps the little bits of glass in, that are in there, I think they're bits of glass or plastic, rotating so that new unique patterns keep manifesting. If you turn that sleeve and keep the thing rotating, it's a nice metaphor for changeableness. Life is infinitely complex. Existence is infinitely complex. Conditions at all levels of existence are changing constantly. Anything that we try to hold on to in such a world becomes a cloud in clear sky. What about the eternal, the Buddha nature? It does not change. Yes, it is true, we can hold fast to the Buddha nature. We can hold fast to the eternal. Not with our head. Not with our emotions. Not with our body. Only by choosing to look up in faith can we hold fast to the eternal. Then we are not making clouds in a clear sky. Yet please note, that if we apply our will in the wrong way to that effort, if we try to look up in faith in a willful way, we will again make clouds in a clear sky. One could ask, well, why in the world would one do that? Because due to the habit energy of karma, until conversion has got to a certain point, what we mostly know is the driver's seaty side of things. This is why it's important not to try to storm heaven. Looking up in faith happens within the context of acceptance of things as they are. Acceptance of changeableness as it is. Acceptance of birth, disease, old age, and death. Separation from those we love. Acceptance. We can try so hard that we shoot right past our mark. Right past the mark. This is why correctly done meditation is so important. The means of training are thousandfold, and pure meditation must be done. It's also why bowing is so helpful. Bowing helps us express the mind and heart of acceptance. With our body, helps pull us out of our head. I strongly encourage everyone, both monastic trainees and lay trainees, to view your place of sitting in your own home, your own place where you have your home altar, your monk, your altar in your room, to view this place as a place where you can always go and just bow. Just do bows. And sometimes sometimes I'll just go to an altar, sometimes in my room somewhere else, and I will just do a bunch of bows, just a string of bows. Just loosen it all up. Let go. Loosen it up. Let go. Relax. Let it go. And when you go down in that bow, the hands are open to the eternal. Let it go through those hands. Let it go to the altar of the eternal. No matter how far we've gone in training, we always need to do this, or we will again just create more clouds in a clear sky. We don't need to know anything. We don't need to own anything. We don't need to try to hold on to anything. The water of the Buddha nature, the essence, the immaculate essence of that clear sky, is the reality of every aspect of daily life. Both the joy and the sorrow, both the suffering and the happiness. Its true nature is immaculate and void of self. There is nothing to be desired, nothing to be known, nothing to be owned, nothing to be possessed, nothing to be accumulated, nothing to be hoarded. We live in the hand of the Buddha. Whatever we have learned up to this very moment, whatever we have suffered, whatever we have known, whatever we have loved, it's all in the past. It's what's in this very moment that is real. Don't turn a true experience, a true insight, a true love into a cloud in a clear sky.